And good morning, this is Dr. John McDougall, KSRO Radio 1350 in studio. One of the most popular people at St. Helena Hospital and Health Center. One of the most popular, interesting, stimulating, I have to say, lecturers to the people who I bring to St. Helena Health Center. Every time this person finishes her presentation, I have comment after comment after comment. And why can't we have her back again? Why can't we hear more about her? So I thought it'd be a great idea to bring her to you via this radio. And you'll have a chance to appreciate the wealth of information and the understanding of Dr. Arlene Taylor. She is a psychologist, PhD in psychology. She has her doctorate in health and human sciences, a doctorate in clinical pastoral counseling, a master's in epidemiology, health education, and bachelor of science in nursing. She has an organization that we'll find out about called Realizations Incorporated, as well as she's the director of risk management and infection control. How'd you get stuck with that job, infection control?
Well, it's not a matter of getting stuck, John. I like that.
Really?
Absolutely.
We have to look at the reports of all those bacteria that infected all those
people?
Yes,
you do, but your main point is to try to prevent.
Now, how does that fit in with realizations and self improvement and things like that?
Well, Realizations Incorporated is the name I gave to my own particular consulting educational company. And the whole pitch of that is health promotion. And so whether you're talking about preventing illness or preventing infection, it's the same track.
So it's not just from a psychological point of view. It's not just from the spiritual, emotional point of view. You also are interested in good diet.
Absolutely.
Exercise.
I wouldn't be lecturing for your program if I didn't believe in good diet.
I figured as much. I never heard them come out and say, Dr. Arlene Taylor said we ought to have a little bit of hamburger every day.
Oh, absolutely not.
So we help people with realizations to realize their potential.
Exactly.
In health.
See, many people out there just barely surviving, you know that. And I think the goal of living on this earth is thriving, and that's a different ballgame.
So how do you change that around? You just said it. There are a lot of people, a lot of my listeners, who are just getting through the hours of the day, not knowing whether those are going to be pleasant hours or unpleasant, or whether their life will be worse at the end of the day or better.
And many are unpleasant because they expect them to be unpleasant.
So how do they change that? I mean, where would they start? Somebody walks into you and says, Dr. Arlene Taylor, here's my $5. I want you to change my life.
I can't change anybody's life.
Okay.
We can only change ourselves.
I want you to help me. I want you to give me the direction necessary to change my life. I really want a better life. I'm just like everybody else out there. I want the best life I can possibly have for the least amount of effort, though, I must tell you.
Everything worthwhile takes some effort.
Yeah, I understand it does. So I'm not gonna say fix me. I'm just going to say I want to do it as easy and directly as possible.
The way it worked for me is to start to figure out who I was innately and who I was really meant to be based on my brain function and so on and so forth. And once you know who you are, John, where you've been, why you respond or react in life like you do based on what happened to you, your experiences, then you have a chance to make a choice for a different option. Otherwise, we're just sort of blindly swirling around out there trying this, trying that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes we don't know why it worked. Very often we
I can relate to this, Arlene Taylor.
Oh, I'm so glad you can.
I can really relate to this. You know, kind of plodding through life letting it happen to
you. Exactly.
I mean, you can get control.
To some degree. We can't control everything, and that's the serenity prayer. Figure out what you can and work on that and let the rest go.
So how do we get some kind of foundation that allows us better decision-making?
Again, I think that starts with knowing who you are, because based on our thinking styles...
Is there a method to know who you are?
There's a fairly recent tool out that sort of shortcuts this process by 3 to 6 months, I'd say.
I'd like that. Remember I told you as quick as possible,
right,
as easy as possible.
Right. Well, that has to do with your brain lead also. Get the vision, let's do it yesterday. There's a brain researcher in Texas who's worked with Prebrum at Stanford by the name of Ben Ziger. And she has developed an assessment tool that will give you a thumbnail sketch of how you're using your cerebrum, the quadrants of your cerebrum. And that's a really good starting place. And after that, there is no place like family of origin work.
Family of origin.
Figuring out what your generational propensities, your generational lineage taught you. Because much of what we know in life came to us subconsciously through the role modeling we observed, and we absorbed all that by the age of 5. And many of us as adults who are just surviving in life are really operating on the basis of those beliefs we absorbed before the age of five. Now, that's not the best way to approach life. And so family of origin work, going back and figuring, what did I learn? What was I taught? What did I see for role modeling? Mm. Then you can look at, is this how I want to spend the rest of my life? And many times we'll keep some of that.
Well, it sounds to me, if I looked back like that, I'd have to say there's a mixed bag there.
There always, as far as I'm concerned, is always a mixed bag.
And there's a lot of good.
Absolutely.
In my first 5 years, but there were some concerning things. I'm Dr. John McDougall. Dr. Arlene Taylor is my guest. The name of her old book is Back to Basics. Her new book is Thresholds to Thriving. We'll tell you how to get these books. If you have a question for my guest, the number to call is 270-1350, 270-1350. We're going to spend the hour giving you clues on how to improve your life so you can have a better day today and tomorrow. I'm Dr. John McDougall, KSRO Radio 1350.
The Shelton family and the staff at Food for Thought Market in Delhi.
3420. Ask for Betty at Great Western Directories, the people's choice.
You're listening to the Dr. John McDougall Show on 1350 KSRO. Brought to you by Food for Thought Natural Food Store and Deli. Check out their new location in the Mayette Shopping Center on Yalupa Avenue or their original location in Sebastopol. Food for Thought.
And Dr. John McDougall, KSR Radio 1350 with me, Dr. Arlene Taylor. Back to Basics is a book that she has had out for several years, and the most recent one, Thresholds for Surviving. And we're talking about personal growth in terms of physical health, mental health, and emotional well-being. And so you think, looking back at your roots, seeing what kind of parents you came from, you know, that's kind of like a saying that I've had a chance to express several times on this show, and that is the message that I got as I was growing up, as well as the one that I've given to my children, that is, when you go in life to pick a mate, make sure you examine their parents and their family very carefully, because that's the kind of family you're marrying into. That is basically the kind of person you're going to marry, is who their parents are. And I think they learned it. I certainly learned it, because I was fortunate enough to find a happy woman who came from a happy family, and it has added to my life over
and
over.
Makes a difference.
So you use that same type of thing, look back at your parents and the kind of environment you grew up in. And so once you see that, then how does that help you?
Well, Benzinger talks about nature and nurture. And nature is sort of the equipment that we come with and our predispositions, whether that be brain lead or extroversion, introversion level, or sensory preference. And nurture is how the environment enabled us to either honor those and build competencies around them, or whether we had to excessively adapt because who we are or who we were as children was not okay in our society, in our church, in our family. And so you look at those two pieces. And if you find that who you really are was not honored in your family, and we really often see this, there'll be several children in a family, and one of them just won't fit in, John. Mm-hmm. Just something wrong with this kid. And often there's absolutely nothing wrong with that child.
Well,
it's different from the parents.
But the relationship is different, and there's...
And maybe that child has a kinesthetic preference, for example, relating to the environment through a sense of touch, mm-hmm. where the mother's auditory and the father's visual, let's say. And so because that child does not relate to them and to life in the style that they're used to, they...
So does the child stand a chance?
Absolutely. We all stand a chance.
So how does that child remedy the situation if he or she discovers later on in life that she was the black sheep?
I think you remedy that by, first of all, honoring who you innately are once you figure that out, and realizing that the perceptions that you were exposed to in childhood were only that, perceptions, just opinions of other human beings, and that doesn't necessarily make them right.
Yeah, but it's awful powerful.
Oh, it's very powerful. But we're more powerful than anything, John, as we become adults and take responsibility for who we are. That doesn't mean we don't bear... I don't want to use the word scars, but that doesn't mean that we aren't influenced throughout life by what happened mm-hmm. to us. But we can absolutely thrive regardless, in spite of what happened to us, if it's bad. And based on the good parts that happened to us, that gives us a little edge.
So recognizing the things that were difficult for us, trying to set them aside, trying to deal with them, and picking the things that are our strong points.
Well, let me give you a personal example.
I'd like that. Really,
I knew you would.
Make it real for me.
One of the rules in my family of origin was that we didn't talk about anything that happened in the family outside of the family. And now in terms of family rhetoric, we'd say that that's one of the rules of a dysfunctional family system, absolute silence.
Hmm.
And so as I began to do a lot of public speaking, every single time, John, I would want to do this lecture. I'd be looking forward to it. And I'd come up to about the 15 minutes before going on the platform or on the radio or on the TV, and I would not want to do this. I would get this overwhelming, total physiological response. I'd rather be anywhere else than this. Now, I would go ahead and do it, and about 5 minutes into the presentation, I'd love it. But I decided that this was a waste of energy, this 15 minutes before every presentation.
And you decided it was something more than just simple stage fright.
So, absolutely. So I started looking back at my family of origin and what kind of rules were in place. What was I taught about women in public, speaking, etc.? And I finally connected that with the rule of silence. And what is more likely to break a rule of silence than being upfront speaking in public and taking questions from the audience or from the radio or television show?
So you think that was your way of rebelling all along?
I don't know if it was a rebellion. It is. It does match who I am. Mm. It just took me a couple of centuries to find that out.
Okay. And so you figured it out, and now, of course, you've been a very effective public speaker. And do you think you've dealt with this particular rule of silence that you were raised with,
absolutely,
and now it doesn't bother you anymore?
Because when I get that feeling, I say to myself, I'm feeling a little anxiety, mm-hmm, because I'm about to break a family taboo. Number, mm-hmm, one, I'm a female. Number two, I'm speaking in public, and I'm talking about my family of origin.
And number three, we all get stage fright.
To some degree. And that's probably healthy. But I'm talking beyond stage fright. I would want to literally leave and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just that recognition... as the months have gone by since I have surfaced that piece, John, I have my little bit of natural stage fright, but I do not want to run away.
Not that frightening, not that
no.
much confrontation with your previous self.
Which means just the recognition has enabled me to take more control of my body physiology.
Now, one of the other practical things that you talk to my participants about is the immune system.
My second favorite body system.
Your second favorite thing. I'd like to get into that and how you... They tell me something about the thymus gland. They're always saying something about the thymus gland. And I got to get in on the secret about this because I've never attended your lecture.
Well,
and
I wish you would.
Well, it's one way for me to hear it right now. I'm Dr. John McDougall. This is KSR Radio 1350. Dr. Arlene Taylor in studio with me. If you have a question, give us a call at 270-1350.
Talk Saturday with Pete Walker, KSRO.
NCAA basketball and football.
The San Jose Sharks.
Sonoma State football.
It's all on your North Bay Sports Connection, 1350 KSRO.
Dr. John McDougall, KSRO Radio 1350 with me, Dr. Arlene Taylor. And the subject is making a better life for yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally. And what do you tell these folks of mine about their thymus gland that they keep relating? They thump their chests. They
thump their thymus.
They're
right.
Thumping their thymus. After you lecture to them, I go in and I see these people pounding on their thymus.
Well, I've told them not to beat it to death, John. You do it once in the morning.
Just once?
Well, there is some research out that the thymus gland, which is located in the middle of your chest behind your sternum or breastbone, is the master gland of the immune system. It's the orchestra conductor, if you will. There's some evidence that it responds to gentle stimulation, and the way I describe that is it likes to know that you know it's there.
Hmm.
And there are some researchers who suggest that it's helpful to thump it once a day. And you just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little taps on my chest is how
like
I do.
Beating your chest?
Just a little. Not like the gorillas.
Not like the gorillas?
No. Right in the middle. Uh-huh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I talk to mine, John, because I really believe in the mind-body connection. And I do this in my car. I don't do it walking around, mm-hmm, in the halls of the hospital.
Okay.
And I say something like, my thymus gland has stopped shrinking. It is helping my immune system to keep me well. My body is free from disease. I'm thriving. And then I go on about my business for the day. So that's what's called thumping your thymus.
That's what those guys are doing. I understand.
And there is also some research, you know, that if you experience extreme stress for 2 or 3 days, your thymus gland, which is not huge to start with, only about 1.5 ounces, it can shrink to 50% of its size.
Under stress.
Under stress.
How about under need? Can it grow? In other words, the need being an infection or some type of an immune disease.
I don't know any evidence about it growing. If you learn to manage the stress, mm-hmm. there's some belief that the thymus gland can come back to a better size. But because of the way we live, the way we just crush our immune systems, and a lot of that has to do with our food intake, a lack of exercise, really not living a high-level wellness lifestyle, and the pollution in our world, there's some sense that it begins to start shrinking about puberty. So that, let's say you're 80 years old and you have decided that 80 is as long as you can live.
Couldn't it shrink just because it's done its thing?
I believe that, Dr. Paris Kidd from Berkeley believes that the human body was designed to live about 1,000 years if you keep the immune system in good shape.
Boy,
so there's no reason
for it.
There's
a guy I'd like to believe in, but can't.
You can't. No, the current research on aging is that if we took care of our immune systems, mm-hmm. we probably could live easily to 116, 120 at good level of mental...
116, you
mm-hmm,
say, 120.
120.
Okay.
At good physical and mental function.
I think that's stretching it, but that's okay.
Well, I'm aiming for 120. I may not make it, but I'll get farther than if I aimed lower.
That may be a positive attitude, certainly. But, you know, don't take any bets on it, though.
I'm not really a betting person.
That's the problem with being in a good health field, and I'm sure you have it, too, is that people expect you to always be healthy.
No, that's true. They expect you never have allergies.
So they watch any falter you have. Every time I sneeze or cough on the mm-hmm. show, I mean, I'm sure people say, oh, what has happened to him?
Well, that's the old black and white ethic, though, John, that if you're doing everything right, everything will go right, and
yes.
we live in an imperfect world.
Bad things happen to good people.
Absolutely, and colds occasionally happen to me, and I do have a high-level wellness lifestyle.
Are there other things that you recommend to people to keep this immune system going, the thymus going, to keep themselves in good health? Good thoughts, talking to your thymus, thump your thymus, eat well.
Learn how to manage stress. Learn how to manage your emotions and feelings.
Itself, yeah.
Absolutely.
And you think you got the handle on that. Now, I have to tell you, Dr. Arlene Taylor, lots of people have told me they know how to manage stress. But when I got done talking to them, I didn't have anything I could put my arms around. I didn't have any real practical things that I could mm-hmm. do. They want me to think good thoughts. They want me to maybe hum a mantra. They want me to, you know, I want very practical things because, you know, stress in my life can be a little uncomfortable, has been uncomfortable. Actually something I value greatly in my life.
The absence of stress is death. Therefore, we don't want to get rid of all stress.
Death or a very severe case of intoxication.
One of the two. When you're trying to manage stress, and you're right, that's an entirely big topic, you need to figure out what your stress symptoms are. They're different for different people. And when I offer a distress, eustress, and misstress seminar, we go through what are some of the stress symptoms that you might be exhibiting. Figure what that is out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then identify your stressors. And sometimes you can get rid of some of those stressors. Sometimes you can't. If you can't get rid of them, you can find ways to help yourself balance out the effects of those stressors.
Well, I want to get into some of those practical tips on the things that we can do to make the stress more pleasant, not to get rid of it. And I'm glad you didn't say we need to get rid of our stress. And we'll be back to talk to John also. And if you want to talk to Dr. Arlene Taylor, the number to call is 270-1350. That's 270-1350. Her books, Back to Basics and Thresholds to Thriving. How do they get these books?
They in Napa. They're at the Main Street Bookstore in St. Helena. Bookends in Napa, in Napa County. They're also at the gift store at St. Helena Hospital, and they can order them directly from Realizations.
Okay, and we'll get the address, so you get your pencil and paper ready. We'll get the address for Realizations when we come back. Two lines open for you at 270-1350. John, hold on there. We'll be with you. I'm Dr. John McDougall. This is KSRO Radio 1350. Back with you in a moment.
1350 KSRO, Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Healdsburg.
The trade differences with Japan out.
And good morning, this is Dr. John McDougall, KSRO Radio 1350. With me in studio, Dr. Arlene Taylor. She's the founder and president of Realizations Incorporated, a company whose goal, purpose, is to help you realize a better life. And she's also involved with risk management at St. Helena Hospital. That's where I got to know her. She lectures to my group of people at St. Helena Hospital every session and is one of the most popular lecturers. In fact, I'd have to say that the response I get about you is greater than anybody else I can think of.
Thank you, thank you.
They love it. They love it. Thump the thymus. And she has her doctorate in health and human service, also a doctorate in clinical pastoral counseling. We'll give out the address after we talk to John. John, welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Arlene Taylor.
Hi.
Hello, John.
I saw this book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
Yes.
You know it?
Absolutely.
He took a pretty good shot at Bernie Siegel in that book.
Yes.
And he said they're correcting for bias and analysis for he has through his program that led to a really non-significant difference between what he proposes and what other people do. And another thing I wanted to ask you is, have you ever heard of this recombinant thymosin?
I have, but I don't know much about it.
And I wondered, I thought it was available in some countries, but not in the United States, and I was wondering why it wasn't available in the United
so
States.
So this is something that stimulates the thymus, does it?
I guess it has some peptides or hormones or something that are mimics the, what comes out of the thymus or something.
Hmm. Well, I remember the thymus has a very important gland in terms of your immune system, but early in life. And as we get older, the thymus naturally involutes, just like the tonsils and the adenoids naturally involute as people get older in most cases. But in some situations, it can stay large. In some situations, it can get very large. In some situations, it can become tumorous. So I'd certainly like to keep mine as active and as properly active as possible because it is a key organ in terms of the immune system.
I saw something else, too, in literature that said that in rats, they showed an increase in immune function when taking buspirone. I wondered if you had ever seen
What is buspirone?
Buspar.
Oh, buspar. This is a antipsychotic?
Anxiolytic, I think.
Anti-anxiety medicine of some type.
Yeah. And I wondered if anything else had been seen as far as increasing immune effects with other anxiolytics.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
And I have, I personally don't put a lot of weight in any one modality. I believe that Deepak Chopra is right when he says that in its normal state, and in this particular context he was talking about fighting free radicals, in its normal state, the body is really able to handle most of what is thrown at it that we need to come in contact with. So my bias, my preference, is to aim for a high-level wellness lifestyle and let the body do what it was designed to do, our job being that we can make that easier, when in fact many of us make it more difficult because of our lifestyles.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, John. And what's the address to get the books Back to Basics and also Thresholds to Thriving?
Individuals can write to Post Office Box 2554. Napa, N-A-P-A, California, 94558. Or they can telephone to area code 707-554-4981.
Okay, and we'll give you those the address and phone number again. Well, let me give it to you now. Post Office Box 2554, that's Napa, 94550.
94558.
Thank you. That is an 8. That's just bad doctor writing. And phone number is 707-554-4981. Well, how much money do they send if they send in?
They need to send $10 for Back to Basics, $12 for Thresholds to Thriving, and $2 for handling, shipping, mailing, tax, and so on.
For each book?
Yes.
$2 for each book. So 10 for the first book, the basics, Back to Basics, and 12 for the Thresholds to Thriving, plus $2 postage for each book.
You know, our last caller was talking about Sapolsky's book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers,
yes,
and comments about Bernie Siegel. I think it's important to separate the idea of just positive self-talk, Dr. McDougall, as opposed to a positive mindset for life. Because when you approach life with a positive mindset, It means that you are aware of what's going on around you, what's going on in your body. You recognize the positive and the negatives in life. But then, once you've done that, you evaluate what you can do about them. Sometimes you can get rid of some of the negatives, stressors, if you want to refer them in that terminology. Sometimes you can't get rid of them. Then you can perhaps reframe how you look at them. Can you look for the silver lining in the cloud? And
now, how about being broke?
How about being broke?
Yeah, how about that? That's, I'd have to say, is a common stressor in many people, is living from payday to payday, not paying the bills. Where would you find the silver lining in that cloud?
Sometimes the silver lining means that you do have the capability to tap into a resource to help you manage your funds more successfully. Mm-hmm. Most people, you know, that want to find work can find work. Sometimes they have to relocate to do that. Sometimes they have to retrain.
Sometimes they have to apply for a job.
Sometimes they have to apply
for a job.
Oh, there's
a big one. I'll tell you, that's a...
It's the difference between wishing and doing something about helping you achieve your goals in life.
Well, there are a lot of people who are very disadvantaged, and we see
that.
That
is correct.
And
on the bell curve of distribution, maybe we'll never be completely without that.
Right, but most people out there do have survival skills that they're not tapping into.
That's right.
If somebody came to your office with some of those survival skills intact, some of them not working so well, how do you get to start working with them? Where's the beginning of all this, and then how do you take them along?
My preference is to have them take the Benzinger Thinking Styles Assessment, or BTSA.
This is what you talked about,
yes.
Where you find the different...
Where we look at their extroversion-introversion ratios, we look at their emotional tone, we look at how they're using their brain function, whether they're using it the way that we were intended to, or that individual was intended to use it, whether they've done excessive adapting. Because excessive adapting, having to be not who you are in order to fit in, be successful, meet expectations of others, is in the term of psychological stress, and we know that that's an immune system suppressant.
Okay, but some of these are adaptive mechanisms that help people function, and maybe who they really are wouldn't be a very functional person to be.
That's not how I look at it.
No, it doesn't work that way?
I believe that there are the possibility for 4 innate thinking styles, and that goes back as far as Carl Jung, and now we have the physiology to back that up.
So you think that what they really are is a
they
worthwhile person.
They can learn to be successful in our society.
And that they ought to function from that point of view regardless.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a novel way of thinking about it.
I mean, if you have a stick shift, you better drive it as a stick shift, not as an automatic.
Okay. Well, that... I will explore that further with Dr. Arlene Taylor. I'm Dr. John McDougall. This is KSRO Radio 1350. If you have a question for my guest, the number is 270-1350. That's 270-1350. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Would you like to take advantage of one of our business communities?
You're listening to the Dr. John McDougall Show on 1350 KSRO. Brought to you by Food for Thought Natural Food Store and Deli. Check out their new location in the Mayette Shopping Center on Yalupa Avenue or their original location in Sebastopol. Food for Thought.
And good morning. This is Dr. John McDougall, KSRO Radio 1350. Dr. Arlene Taylor does seminars, retreats, thinking style assessments, individual and corporate consultations, in-services, workshops, home study resources, books, audios, videos. And to find out more about what she does, you can call the following number, 554-4981, or you can write Post Office Box 2554, Napa, and the zip code is 94558-0255. Revelations is the Realizations is the name of the company. Do people actually come in? Do you have an office where people come in Napa and sit down and talk to you?
Usually they meet me at the St. Lane office if we're doing that. Yes, and I do some of the assessments by mail. Now, last time, the last segment we were on, you said, what would you do if somebody
came to you? Yeah, I want to hear practical. 1, 2, 3.
John, you can't do one, two, three.
But see, this is the kind of things I like. Is where somebody comes to me and I say, eat this, 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 and go for a walk. And they don't look at me and say, what did he say? They say, he said, eat that, 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 and go for a walk, and I'll get well. You see, from the psychological, I have to tell you, I had a minister one time who was overweight. And also had other serious health problems. And I said, this is what you do. Boom, 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 you get well. And I said to him, now, if you could do the same for me spiritually, if you could say, John, do boom, 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 you'll be well. I said, you know, I would be eternally grateful. And I used to tell him that month after month, year after year, and he never could do it. So come on, you solve that problem for me.
You could to some degree, but everybody is so unique. And you can tell them, eat this, 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 and you'll be well.
Yes.
And to some degree, that's true.
Yes.
But that is one plateau of thriving. Mm-hmm. And there is beyond
I would accept that spiritually and emotionally if I could have it. If I could have the physical health that I could get by telling you to eat these foods and go for a walk that I could get spiritually and emotionally, I mean, where do I sign?
And they do tie together.
Where do I sign?
Tie together. Okay, let me give you an example. Lady came to my office not too long ago. She'd been married 5 times. She's only 34. Now, I think being married 5 times in the space of 34 years is probably a little bit
That's almost a gold medal record.
That's almost Elizabeth Taylor style.
That is amazing.
And it's very stressful and very punishing to the psyche, to the self, mm-hmm. to be in and out of that many relationships.
Oh, must be terrible.
And
for,
so for she said,
herself and those around her.
Can you help me? So I start with one of two premises, John. Mm-hmm. When someone finds it that difficult to maintain a relationship, either they're living somebody else's script, they're mm-hmm. following their generational script that somebody else planned for them, or they're not being real and they're wearing a mask. And you really cannot have a good relationship unless you are being real, because two masks never can get together, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so the two things we had to do for her was, number one, try to define as near as possible who she was innately, and we did that through the BTSA. And the second piece is to go back and look at what were the rules, what were the lessons she learned in her family that might be influencing this repetitive business in terms of
and what were
relationships.
They?
One of them was that you're nothing without a man.
Mm.
And so therefore she had to be with another male in order to be okay, and it really didn't matter who much, you know, how much, what or who that male was, just if I am with a man, I am okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was that she had come from an environment, and we can use the labels of codependency if you like, although I try not to use a lot of labels. She had been taught to focus all of her attention on what other people's needs were. So she had no idea, number one, who she was, what she needed, or even what she wanted. Because when I said to her, if you could do anything in the world right now, and there were no restrictions, either geographical or economical or educational or financial, what would you do and who would you be? And she had absolutely no idea. So that's where we started. And in 6 months, she would not believe how well she is owning who she is and how well she is growing. And she is now working on a relationship with herself. And once that's solid, then she can work on a relationship with somebody else, because all our relationships, John, are only a reflection of the relationship we have with ourselves.
Love yourself first.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I can really relate to that, no problem.
So when you ask for three easy steps,
yes.
There's two easy steps to start with. Where did you come from and who are you?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that those steps take a little internal work and a little internal processing, so they don't happen in 10 minutes. The woman's 34. It took her 3-4 years to get to where she was. She cannot re-own who she is and do all her family of origin work mm-hmm. in 34 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And you help her through this, though.
Absolutely. The rule of thumb is it takes about a month of good, solid work for every year in which you either were living out someone else's script or not being real.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, you know that from your own McDougal program. People don't come into your program for 10 minutes.
No, they come for 12 days, and it doesn't do them a hoot of good unless they leave and practice the program
Absolutely.
When they go home.
Absolutely. So we're really talking about a process. You live the process, and your goal is high-level wellness, physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. to take you to a plateau
have
of thriving.
Have you thought about doing this with group sessions?
I have done some group sessions. In fact, I do that in a retreat mm-hmm. session often.
Do you have information on upcoming retreat?
I do have several retreats coming up, but I'm going in to speak. I have not done what you've done, John, and planned my own retreats. But that is an idea.
That would be a good idea.
And when I do it,
you could serve a McDougal food too.
Oh, I could. Well, we could do it together.
That's
you could
right.
do the food piece, and I could do the other piece.
High level wellness. We'll
Absolutely.
Get it from both ends, won't we? I'm Dr. John McDougal. Dr. Arlene Taylor is with me. If you'd like to talk to her, the number is 270-1350. We'll give you the address and phone number again when we get back.
The Shelton family and the staff at Food for Thought Market in Delhi are pleased to welcome you to our newly expanded shop in downtown Sebastopol. We're grateful for the community support that...
Call 573-4565.
Good morning, this is Dr. John McDougall, KSR Radio 1350. Arlene Taylor teaches at St. Lynn Hospital in my program, and people really enjoy her message because it is practical. I had to drag it out of you, but it's practical. And if you'd like to get a hold of her, the phone number is 554-4981, and the post office box is 2554. That's in Napa, and the zip is 94558. You almost have, you know, you got... That must be your lucky number. You ever think about using those numbers when you go to Reno or to play the lottery?
Usually when I go to Reno, I'm giving a lecture.
Well, you don't gamble, huh? I won't get into your personal habits.
No, I don't gamble, except that in a way life is a gamble because there's nothing for sure. It's an adventure every day.
It is, but you seem to think that we can get some control of it and make it work to our advantage instead of being just... You know, just a hopeless, directionless...
I believe that.
...entity out there being pushed around by all the circumstances.
I really enjoy living. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I enjoy every single thing that happens to me or every situation in which I find myself. But I enjoy living. I'm glad that I arrived on this planet.
Uh-huh. Were you raised in a happy family?
Was I raised in a happy family? Boy, that's a tough question. There were times of happiness in our family.
Mm-hmm.
But my definition now of happy is a deep, calm contentment with life, knowing that whatever comes up...
But is that what your parents taught you?
No, I don't think so.
Your parents didn't give you that kind of confidence and love and reassurance?
They gave me a lot of love as they understood love.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a lot of reassurance because I think life was a little frightening for them.
Mm.
And so as my definition now of happiness goes, I am achieving that state by choice. It's a learned response in a way.
See, because I guess what I'm getting at is if you don't have that kind of upbringing, can you compensate for it? Because a lot of people out there didn't. I was fortunate. I had a very loving parents, and I was always sure that I was loved. There was never any question in my mind, ever.
No, I was always sure my parents loved me.
And but unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that I know don't have that kind of security.
That's correct.
And in your experience, you must deal with a lot of these people. Can they do something about that?
I don't like to talk about it in terms of compensation because I don't think it's a compensation. Yes, they absolutely can do something about it. They can love themselves unconditionally and go from there because we are each unique and absolutely valuable regardless of whether or not a certain group of other human beings valued us.
Mm-hmm. But it helps.
It does help. But you see, then we can create our own family of choice.
Mm.
If we came from a family that did not know how to value and nurture us, then we can do that for ourselves. I call that reparenting. And in the book Thresholds to Thriving, I have created the 12 steps to reparenting. And in effect...
Tell me what they are.
What you're doing is treating yourself like that benevolent, wise parent that you may not have actually had in real life.
Okay, what are those 12 steps?
Well, you'll have to open the book.
Here, I'll let you do it.
Because I don't have them memorized, John. I built them on the... 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
The 12-step program has been the most successful program for
Absolutely.
Changing people's lives.
So I did the 12 Steps of Reparenting to give people some little practical steps that you've been looking for this whole hour.
I like it right there, black and white.
I'm not going to read
do
them
this
all
and I'll get there.
Here's step one. I recognize that I have not completed all the developmental tasks of childhood. And admit that in my own strength, I am powerless to reparent myself successfully. Step two, I believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to wholeness and enable me to effectively reparent myself. And it's a process again, John. Well, I think my beeper just went off and we'll just have to tell him to wait.
the beeper does not control this radio show.
That's
Eileen.
Absolutely true. I just turned it off.
And by applying these 12 steps, you work with people in your practice that way?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you also help people by mail. Does that mean that they can take this test by mail?
BTSA, absolutely.
Yes.
It's a thinking styles assessment.
How much does it cost?
It costs $125.
So they take it, send it in, you
they
send
take
the
it,
results
send it
back.
In. I spend several hours analyzing it, give them about 20 pages of printout. And it will be a practical tool for them to start. When you see five diagrams on a page and it shows you how you're using your brain at work, at leisure, mm-hmm. how you used it as a child versus mm-hmm. how you use it now, that can be very helpful to people. Mm-hmm.
Did you figure out how I use my brain in this
No,
hour?
I haven't spent any energy figuring that out.
You haven't?
But we basically speak the same language, so we must be fairly close to each other in the brain.
You think so? Well, they talk about left-brained and right-brained people. And
that's too simplistic.
It's much more complex than that.
And the other thing is we both really believe in health prevention. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes out of the desire for personal growth, and that's a piece of the brain.
Well, I've seen people get well, physically well, by
Absolutely.
Taking care of some basic principles. And I have seen, not enough because I'm not close enough to it, but I have seen people become spiritually and emotionally well. And I'd just like to have some as effective and practical ways to help people in that area. And I can tell that's where you're dedicated, helping people heal and grow spiritually and mentally. The phone number again is 707-554-4981. The post office box is 2554 Napa. Zip is 94558. Dr. Arlene Taylor, thank you very much. Very enjoyable.
My pleasure.
Hour.
Enjoy it.
I'm Dr. John McDougall. This is KSRL Radio 1350, and you have a great day and one filled with growth.
Seven degrees and partly overcast in Santa Rosa. We're starting to see the sun. 65 degrees in Petaluma. Coming up, shots ring out in Santa Rosa. Local police today looking for a carload of young suspects. And an FBI expert says a strand of hair found in the bedroom of Polly Klass matches that of accused killer Richard Allard Davis. Details on these stories and more news straight ahead from KSRO Santa Rosa. It's 12 noon.
NBC Radio News. The sun shining in Florida where the space shuttle crew...